reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in the 9th verse. Or do you not know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic that gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, we're living in troubled times, but we're living in good times. It's coming down to the end, my dear friends. Jesus is coming back pretty quick. Don't know when, but he said to keep looking up, because he is coming back. And so some of these days we'll get out of this mess that we're in, our country is in, and everybody else is in. Well, I tell you what, just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse. Now as to the times, the epoch, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night, while they are saying peace and safety. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. Then I turn over here to Micah 4:1-5. And it will come about in the last days that the mountains of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the people will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that he may walk in his paths. For Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between many people, and render decisions for mighty distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. And each of us will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Though all the people walk, each in the name of God, as for us, we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and forever. We've labeled this, no more bombs bursting in air. Friends, you and I know freedom has been purchased with blood. Liberty has always come through the overflow of tyrants, and wars have drenched battlefields with blood to gain freedom. Wars have been fought to end all wars. Still, the world is an armed camp, a dangerous place. Wars and rumors of wars will continue, and I read in Matthew 24:6, and you'll be hearing of war rumors of war, so that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But this is not the end, for nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against a kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Well, Now they're predicting a lot of famine in this America. Could happen. Boy, it sure could happen the way things are going now. But listen, there's always been rumors of wars, and there's going to be, hey, since the beginning of time there's been wars. And now we're in so many wars, I don't know how, I can't count them all. But I'll tell you one thing, it's still more coming, still more coming. Well, when will the world find peace? Well, it says, peace is the cry of the earth today. Thessalonians again, 5:1-4. All right, let me get back here. Now is the time in the epoch, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just as a thief in the night. While they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light, the sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Listen, folks, people have longed for peace throughout the centuries. I recall when World War started back in 1941. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I was laying on a davenport. I wasn't in church, and I was listening to our preacher preach. And about halfway through his sermon, there was a deacon walked up and handed the pastor a note. And the pastor said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Japanese have just attacked us at Pearl Harbor." I remember the shock that went through America. Well, pretty well the people back in Washington knew it was coming. But anyway, I didn't know it was coming. But anyway, it did. And people, all through the war, I thought that was the longest war I ever spent in my life. I was in the Navy 4 years, but that was the longest 4 years. Listen, I was just a little 17-year-old boy when I went. I wasn't even dry behind the ears. And I come out a man. And I will never forget the day I left Bremerton, Washington, free from the Navy. Now, I'm not putting the Navy down. Oh, no, you don't say I did. I love the Navy, and I love my ships, and I love my shipmates. You know, there's only a very few of us left on my ship. I don't imagine I doubt if there's over 50 men aboard my ship that are alive yet today. Officers are gone. But I had the privilege of introducing my skipper, Admiral L.J. Alexanderson, to Christ before he died. That was something to be looking forward to, looking happy. I was very happy for that day. But even so, war has continued to plague the earth. You know, no one needs to get along. Hey, do you know what? Have you ever thought, where can I find a tire company that won't beat me when they sell me some tires? Or go in and get your oil changed in your car. And they'll tell you that I took my wife's car in to get her oil changed one day. And they come out and said, "Mr. Moe, did you know that the water pump on your wife's car shot?" And I said, "No." I said, "Well, what would it cost to fix it?" "Well, we can put a new one on. I think it was $400 or $500. And I said, "Forget it." Now, that's been, what, 3-4 years ago? Water pump's still hanging on. Isn't it terrible when you can't trust anybody? But I'll tell you one thing. One person you can trust, that's Jesus. Oh, friends, he loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for our sins. Did you know what? I can't imagine him leaving heaven to come upon this earth. I just can't imagine a beautiful place, but he did it because he loved you. So if you're without Christ tonight, I want you to know you're loved. You certainly are loved. And God wants to save you more than you want to be saved. Well, even so, wars continue to plague the earth, and no wonder the cry of peace has continued. Why wars continue? I read in James 1:4. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war on your members? You lust, and you do not have. So you commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain. Do you fight and quarrel? You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. you adulterers, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let me ask you, is this why your prayers are not answered? You ask, but you don't receive. Well, because you're asking with the wrong motives. Look, now, I love to help people. I truly do. And I'm not saying that to be put my halos too tight on my head. But I love to help ministries. I truly do. You say, well, why do you do it? I do because I feel in my heart that's what God wants me to do. I've said this so many times, beloved, and I'll say it again. There is no place in Christendom for selfish people. And I've said before, there's those who are takers, and then there's those who give. Now, a taker is a miserable person. I know a couple, I love them to death, but they're so selfish. They wouldn't give a dime to the Lord's work, and they're Christians. They certainly are, but they just don't believe in giving. Well, I'm telling you, that's not the way God wants it to be. They lusted for power and property. The desire to control wealth and people. And who do you think we're talking about today in America? Our government, it wants to control us. Every one of us tells us when we can, us old folks, when we could die. That's right. Oh, yeah. That's what that health program is going to be. Old folks are going to have to die because they're not going to be able to go to doctors. And they're going to tell us what medicines we can take. Now, that is not what God intended for our land, but that's what they're doing. Now, I've said before, we have fought men in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the Gulf War. We have fought for the freedom of our country. And that's what we fought for. We fought for our country. We fought for our flag. We fought for our God. Now, did you know that in this book, I've told you last Sunday, this book that Mr. Obama wrote, that they will not show it in our maximum security prison down here in Colorado because it would cause a lot of trouble amongst the inmates. And he said, if he had to choose, now buy the book. Don't get mad at me. Buy the book. He said, if I have to choose between Christianity and Muslims, I'll take the Muslims. And you know that's true. He does not want anything to do with our Christianity. Don't you remember what his preacher said? GD America? Yeah, that's what. Well, peace will finally seem within the grasp of mankind, and people will believe that peace and safety has arrived. Even then, destruction will be on its way. Believers are to be alert to these signs of Christ's return. These are days to watch and to pray. Now, peace is coming to the earth someday, and I read in Mark 1:2, and he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very great multitude gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole multitude by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teachings. Well, listen, the Lord knew what's coming. See, he's God. He knew what was coming, and he's trying to prepare people. Well, a time of religious peace, verse 1. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. A time of political peace, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Well, a time of peace through justice. And in Isaiah 11, the wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Araba will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of God. See, the enmity between animals will end. The enmity between people and animals will end. The earth will produce abundantly. And then I read here in Isaiah 11:9, they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. A time when violence will end. Now, violence has been with us since the fall. There will be no hurting or destroying in the coming time of peace. Peace will come when the King comes again. And I read in Mark 4, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Well, peace agreements will fail until the Prince of Peace returns. And I read in Isaiah 9, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Christ will judge among the people. He will rebuke the wicked. Friends, listen, you've heard him say about the great white throne. Well, there'll be no Christians at the great white throne. No, no, no. That's only going to be the ones that's rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. You say, Cecil, look. Let me talk to you, Cecil. I have tried to live a good life, and I've tried to be good, and I've went to church once in a while, and once in a while I read my Bible, and occasionally when I'm in trouble, I pray to the Lord and ask him favors. Are you beginning to tell me that I'm not going to get to heaven because I'm a good person? That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. It's not your goodness. It's what have you done with Jesus? That's what the concern is. What have you done with him? Have you recognized, according to the Bible, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Do you recognize that you're a sinner? Are you sorry enough for your sins that you want to invite Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Well, if you are, then you're ready to be saved. But if you're not, are you ready to go to hell? Are you ready to burn in a burning fire? You say, Cecil, do you really believe? I hope to kiss a fat pig, I do. The Bible speaks more about hell than it does heaven, believe it or not. Why? Because Jesus didn't want you to go to hell. The Bible said he come to seek and to save that which is lost. And you know the wonderful thing about our Savior, dear friend, is that he stands with outstretched arms and says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace. He knows the trouble that America's in, and he's on his throne. And we who know Jesus ought to pray day and night that God will deliver us from this horrible thing that's happening to us back in Washington. He and I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. I don't care. It's what do you know that's right? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin. Now, you know that America's in trouble. We know our economy's down the tube. We know they're taking over their auto industry. They're taking off insurance, all of our stuff. And they're no longer letting us make our decision. The government can't do what you and I can do. And if you know, blessed well, the government ain't praying. Oh, no, because they don't believe in God. They want to take in God we trust off in our money. They want to throw Jesus out of the America. Not going to happen, beloved. It's not going to happen. When Christians stand up and sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, they know that it's true. He is our friend. He's our Redeemer. And he's the one that wants to take us to heaven. Well, the Bible said Christ will judge all people and he will rebuke the wicked. He will bring fairness to all. And tell you, friend, Christ will end all war. Weapons will be put to a better use. Neither shall they learn any more about war. Now the Bible said that we can find peace with God now by faith in Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just think of that. We have peace. Now, if you were to ask me, Cecil, could you explain that peace? Absolutely cannot. can't even explain it. I can't explain salvation. I know I've received salvation. But can I explain the joy of it? No, I really can't. It's something you have to experience yourself. You have to experience it. And the only way you can experience it is, like he said, repent, call upon the Lord. He said, and he told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. Well, you see, but Cecil, I belong to the First Presbyterian Church. That don't mean nothing. You say, well, I've been sprinkler. Well, you call it Baptist. No, that won't do you any good. And good works are not going to do you good. How do I know? It says, for by grace you are being saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I used to feel that when I was lost, that when I got to heaven, he'd got two sets of books, good and bad. Now, if I did more good than I did bad, I was going to get into heaven. Well, that would have been good works. But that's not the way it works. We're saved by the grace, unmerited love of God. We can have personal peace by full surrender. And I read in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You know, the Bible said, you have not because you ask not. What do you need tonight? You say, well, Cecil, I need a job. Well, then you talk to him about it. Now, what did he say? You have not because you ask not. You say, well, I've been asking for weeks. I haven't got a job yet. Well, here's the deal. God does hear and answer prayer. Now, sometimes you say, wait a little bit. Maybe say a little bit longer. Or he may even say no. Now, if you ask amiss, he's not going to answer your prayer. And I'll tell you something, beloved. If you got unconfessed sin in your heart and life, don't expect your prayers to be heard. You just got to tell him you're sorry for your sins and what you did. You might have been cheating on your wife or your husband or something. You've got to confess that. Turn from it. And the Bible said he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. So if your prayers aren't being answered, you better look inside of your heart. And if your prayers are not being answered, is it because you're not born again? Because you don't know Jesus? He said, if you'd love me, what do you want you to do? Keep his commandments. One of the things that I've really been on my heart ever since I've been a Christian. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. I've preached revivals all over the country, Japan, Hawaii, Alaska, Mexico. And then I have pastored. And I'll tell you right now, friends, there's nothing in all this world, no greater joy. I remember in Sapporo, Japan, I was preaching over there. My wife and I was there years ago. And the last day of the revival, twin sisters who were about 13 or 14 years old came forward and accepted Christ. And then was another lady about 23 who worked for the camera shop. She accepted Jesus. And that night when we met in the big church there in the state, you know, in the city, there was several hundred Japanese and several evangelists and their teams. And these three girls came up to me and said, preacher, could we give our testimony tonight? They'd been saved that morning. I know people who've been saved for years and don't even give their testimony. I don't know why, but maybe they're ashamed of Jesus. But those girls got up there and that night on that platform with all those people, and they said, we want to thank you Americans for bringing Jesus to Japan. Oh, you talk about a touch. How my heart was touched. And then when we got ready to go back to our hotel and leave the church, the people come up and cried and they hugged our necks. And oh, my stars, it was something. And then the next morning when we got ready to go to the airplane, did you know that all those Japanese people were there? They followed us out to the airport and they hugged on us and they cried. And you know what? A plane was a half an hour getting off because of those dear people. How thankful they were. You know what it says here? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. I knew God called me to Japan to preach that time. I've been wanting to go for years because I fought against the Japanese and I hated the Japanese during the war and I wasn't a Christian. But after Jesus came into my heart, he turned that hate into love. And I had the privilege of going back and telling those people that we forgive them, at least I have forgiven them, and want them to go to heaven. Friends, listen, you say, well, Cecil, look here. I don't know. You know, you talk a good fight, but do you really believe all this stuff that you're saying from the depths of my heart? From the very bottom of my heart. Friend, I was so sick, so drunk. I'd lost my family. I lost my business, our home, and everything I had because of alcohol. I cried out to went to a preacher's home at 3 a.m. and I told him how a terrible man I was. That morning I gave him my heart. That's been 55 years ago. I'm not drunk. I don't have to drink. I got Jesus. You say, well, Cecil, I'm not an alcoholic, but I got a tugging in my heart this morning, tonight. Well, wouldn't you like to trust him, okay? Bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534? I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call collect, and I'll accept it, okay? 303-471-8534. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moore, and I want to thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, friends, listen. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Pray for our country. Pray for our servicemen and women overseas who are dying daily for your freedom and mine, and millions of people before us who died on the battlefield because they believed in America. We have the greatest nation in the whole world. But we have a very corrupt nation. Pray that God will clean the mess up back in Washington. Senators and congressmen who are cheating and doing terrible things. Pray that they'll be brought to justice. We know they will someday. Well, listen, keep praying for our health and pray God will continue to bless us in our prison ministries. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.